Well, good morning. I think you already know who I am and why I'm here, since we talked about that. And thank you to the kids for that lovely play. That was beautiful. And I want to say that when I first discussed giving this talk with the others in the worship committee, I was thinking I would talk about leave-taking, which is understandable because, as mentioned, we're leaving this church after nearly 19 years and our friends and family and cozy home, which is particularly, I will say, traumatic for me because my early life was not one of stability. My mother and I calculated when I was 10 years old that we had, since the time I was born, lived in 21 different homes. My father was, at the time, very much not into stability. And this morning I was reading, actually, the story of his grandfather who came out from Tennessee to California in 1904, and I learned where my father got it from. He came out as a hobo on the rail line, and he went from place to place, all up and down the West Coast, multiple times in the period of about 8 months. I didn't even know that in 1904 you could go from California to Washington and back about four times. It's pretty impressive. So I was first thinking that I would talk about that because this has been something that I've spent a lot of time in the last year processing, done a lot of reading. And then, you know, during this last year, we've lost a number of good friends, and I realized that the whole loss and change, it doesn't matter whether you're moving or someone is dying who you love, whatever it is, you lose a job, this goes through, the same things go through your mind, the same stresses, and these changes, the change to your daily life is sometimes the most stressful thing. So when, for instance, someone you love is gone, the death process is, of course, very saddening. But for most of us, the really hard parts of the day-to-day changes in life. There's no one there to talk to. There's no one there to go on a hike with, enjoy a good meal, all of those things you've enjoyed. And changes to lifestyle are saddening because of these changes. And it doesn't matter whether you're moving or whether I said, you know, a change of a job or loss of someone. And we know, those of us like me who've done all of those stress tests in the popular magazines over the years, that it's considered to be equally stressful to you whether the stress is something you want and it's a good thing, so it's a new job, a new marriage, a new child, or something you don't want. And like many of you, I find changes in life so stressful that sometimes I avoid talking about them or dealing with them, which my husband can relate many stories about the last few months. And just as an example, writing is something that's very easy for me. Over the years, since elementary school, some of you will hate me for this, but I can easily pop out a 15-page paper in an hour, no trauma, with a little bit of editing. This particular talk, however, I spent weeks on, I procrastinated, I had writer's blocks, all of those things that other writers have told me about over the years, because the whole talk about change is stressful. And even these little things. And I remember when we came from New Mexico to California, many things were stressful to us. The rain and cold, which was the year of the El Niño, we knew was going to happen. And we hated it, and we knew we were going to hate it. The traffic, we hated it, and we knew we were going to hate it. But the little things were the things that really set me off. And as an example, and probably most of you will not understand this, Scott will, I went with a coworker to have lunch, and we had hamburgers, and they had chili burger on the menu. And like any New Mexican, I envisioned a fresh burger with lots of tasty, flavorful, spicy, roasted green chili on it, and I got instead this thing that had this nasty, meat, greasy, brown slop on it. It was horrible. I tried to eat it, and I was so upset, I cried in front of my new coworker. It was just to say how these little things, and sometimes in a change, can be more stressful to you than you can possibly imagine. And I was thinking about that this week as I've been, we've all been going through this, like, this constant, like, I was reading this one artist on Twitter named St. Vincent, and she said it's getting to the point where opening up her Twitter feed is like every day, what horrible thing has happened in my life today? And how stressful that is for all of us living in this constant, we don't know what's happening. It's worse, I think, sometimes than being in quicksand. You know, you feel like you're in a small boat and a surf and waves are coming at you over and over, and how stressful this is for all of us and how dealing with this change is so traumatic. And it's sort of, this week has been a much worse, but a much shortened, what I've been going through this last year as I've been thinking about and reading about how we deal with change. one of the early things that was very helpful to me, which was surprising to me actually, because I don't usually listen to this kind of a book, but when you have the kind of commute that I've had, I've listened to in the last couple of years pretty much everything. And I was listening to Colin Powell read his book, It Worked for Me in Life and Leadership. And it's a very inspirational book. He does a lot of inspirational talks. But he has been in the Army for many years, and he talked about the whole process of moving and how he and his wife dealt with it. Because when you're in the Army, they move you a lot. And he said you just have to do it. You just have to leave it. You can't second guess who's doing your job anymore. They have that job now. That's their job. And you can't second guess who's in your house anymore. And this was very hard for me. They have that house now. You can't do anything about that. And you just have to say, I'm dealing with this changed circumstance. And this is really hard. And sometimes it's harder than others. This week, for instance, I think we've all gone through that. How in the world do we deal with this changed circumstance? I mean, don't you feel like you've been back and forth and somebody's been beating you on the side of the head or something all week long? That's how I feel anyway. So there are some people, and some of these people are my friends, for instance, on Facebook, and I've known some of these people for 40 years. They're refusing to deal with. Nothing's changed. I will only post happy things on Facebook, and I will not respond to any unhappy things because I can't deal with it. But this is not going to work for us either personally or for the world at large. We can't be an ostrich and hide our head in the sand. As Katie Kaczynski said in an essay better than I have, pain, and I would say stress and change, are like water. They push through any seal. There's no way you can stop it. Sometimes you have to let yourself sink in it and feel like you're drowning, but then you have to learn how to swim to the surface. So how do we learn to swim to the surface? Well, I think the first thing we have to do is to talk about it. Sometimes when things are painful, like I mentioned, some of my friends who don't want to talk about what's going on in the world, or sometimes like me, don't want to talk about moving, we don't want to talk about it because there's this feeling that if we talk about it, somehow it makes it more real or makes it more painful. And I read this poem by Terry Kettering. You know, it's about death and the death of his wife, called The Elephant in the Room, but I think it applies to any change. And the elephant in the room, there's an elephant in the room. It's large. It's squatting. It's hard to get around it. But we squeeze by it. We say, oh, how are you? I'm fine. In a thousand other forms of trivial chatter, we talk about the weather. We talk about work. We talk about everything else except that elephant in the room. There's an elephant in the room. We all know it's there. We all are thinking about it as we talk with each other. It's constantly on our minds because it's a very big elephant. It's hurt all of us, but we don't talk about it, this elephant in the room. Please say the name. Please say the name again. Let us talk about this elephant in the room. For if we talk about her death, as he's talking about his wife's death, perhaps we can talk about her life. Can I say her name to you without you looking away? For if I cannot, you leave me alone, sitting in a room with an elephant. So we can't avoid talking about the elephant. We can't bury our heads in the sand. We have to talk about it. We have to figure out a plan. How do you deal with change, the stresses? Because even though we don't like to deal with changes in a strange world, a new world, we have to. It's there. And sometimes, as I said, for some of us, change is harder than others. I know people who love change. They wake up every day, oh, great, let's change how things are done at work. And I'm like, why? It's just fine right now. But there are people like that. I'm not one. Some of you may agree with me. You're also not one. But we have to have a plan for how we deal with the change. And there was one life coach who I was reading her website, Terry Babers. I don't know her. But she put together some of the things that I already knew and had heard, but she put them in a nicely organized way. And she said the first thing that you have to do when you're going through a really traumatic change is you just have to say, yes, I'm in the middle of a change. I don't like it. It's making me uncomfortable. Maybe it makes me sad. I want to cry. You have to do that. talk to friends, write in journals, whatever you do when dealing with stress, first you have to accept the fact that the change that you're going through right now is not something that you like and it's bothering you. And that's okay. It's normal. And we also have to understand that sometimes many of these changes that are the most painful, we didn't ask for and we can't affect. So, for instance, if you've lost a loved one, you didn't ask for that. You can't affect it. It's happened. Even if it's something that maybe you wanted, but it's such a change to your life, you can't go back and change it in the end. And I have to say, we can't sit around and say, it's not fair, why me? I mean, we can, but it doesn't get you anywhere. We have to say, this has happened, I can't change it. I can't go back. And then you have to figure out, are there things in the situation that you can change? This with the serenity prayer, which I think we all know. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And I think the courage and the wisdom are sometimes very difficult for us. The courage, what can I change? And how do I know that I can change that? And then we have to somehow in our minds, whether that's written or to think it through, what positive changes can I make? Is it something in my attitude? Is it participating in a march? Whatever these things are, what positive things can I make? Affirmatively do those and then congratulate yourself for doing those, even if they're what seems to others really little things. And I learned this actually most emotionally in my core when I was a young girl, and my stepmother told me about the divorce with her first husband. It was not something she wanted. He came home one day and he said, my girlfriend's pregnant, I'm going to marry her. Everything in those two statements was a surprise to her. She went through a major, major depression to the point where she couldn't get out of bed or do anything. And she finally said, I cannot continue this. So she said, I will each morning get up and make sure my two daughters get out of the house. And that's all she did for a few days. She didn't shower. She didn't eat. She just got up and made sure they got out of the house. And then she said, I did that. And her mother and sister would call and say, yes, you got out of bed. That's wonderful. You know, and from there she progressed to ever harder things, whether those were showering or cooking, making sure someone was actually up when the girls got home. And eventually she was able to form a new life and go on with it. We have to do that too. Whatever that change is, whether it is the loss of a loved one through divorce in her case, or death, or a move in my case, or, you know, trauma to change to the country, what is the one thing we can do and congratulate yourself for that? Did you go on a march in Oakland? That's wonderful. You did a great thing. Now what is the next thing you do? What do you do to work with other people to make sure that that continues and that you can, in fact, change the things that you can and you have the courage to change the things that you can? So, and then finally, and I think this is also something that's why we're all here today, is that we have to find supportive people to share this with. People who understand when we're going through a hard time. People who encourage us, just like my stepmother, when her mother would call her every day and say, you got out of bed, Valerie. That is wonderful. We need people like that in our lives who support us, because sometimes we can't support ourselves. And the change is just too much. Other times we can be there for other people and be that cheering squad. And I believe that that is why we're here in a community, to support each other. So as we think about these things and as we think about the long-term strategies we need to make, remember that it's okay still sometimes to sit and cry or whatever you need to do. I have a friend in Panama who told me that sometimes the cultural differences, although you love them, are very hard, and you must just go in your room and scream really long and hard. That's okay. Scream really long and hard and then go on. So finally, I'm going to finish by doing something that's very hard for me because I'm the kind of person I am. I'm going to thank each and every one of you as individuals and as part of a church community for being there for me, my husband, and my daughter. Some of you are as close to me or closer than my biological family, and you are so helpful and wonderful in many ways. And I'm going to read to you what Mark Bellatini, who was the minister when we first came, used to say every Sunday, and I mean it, and I hope that you also mean it. Go in peace. Live simply, gently, at home in yourselves. Act justly, speak justly. Remember the depths of your compassion. Forget not your power in the days of your powerlessness. Do not desire to be wealthier than your peers. Stint not your hand of charity. Practice forbearance. Speak the truth, or speak not at all. Take care of your bodies, for you are a good gift. Crave peace for all people in the world,